Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Movie Crush, Mini Crush with me, Charles W. Chuck Bryant,
and across from me,
Noel Brown.
I'm sorry, Chuck, I didn't mean to interrupt. That is, you do such a pleasant opening with your voice. You have this lilting quality. I just wanted to join in with it.
You just wanted to step all over it?
Basically. join in, I think, is a better way of putting it. I just wanted to say, and me.
So, Noel, we're recording now 2 hours later than normal. It's like weird.
What is it? How does it feel to you, Chuck?
Different.
Different? Different can be good, though, right?
Sure.
A little change will do you good. Is that Bonnie Raitt?
A change will do you good.
I don't know. I feel like I hear slide guitar in there. If I hear slide guitar, my mind immediately goes to Bonnie Raitt.
Bonnie Raitt, as it should, or Dwayne Allman. So, Noel, I have on my list here ketchup, and then we have one... Only one thing from the Crushers to go over.
Okay.
And then sort of because we have sort of an extended stream this because I've been watching a lot of shit.
I have too.
Well, good. That's perfect then. I thought you might want to sort of give us an update on your Seattle trip, which I know about, but I know you'd love to share this with your friends because you even hung out with a Crusher.
I did. And by the way, a change will do you good. I was in the right. My heart was in
Cheryl
the right
Crow.
Place. It's Cheryl Crow, but she's very much a Bonnie Raitt acolyte. You know what I mean? Like yeah. I feel.
I think she looks up to Bonnie Raitt quite a bit.
I think so. Seattle is a magical place,
isn't it,
Chuck? I kept hearing this from friends whose opinions I really value, you know, and who are like very seasoned travelers. You yourself being one of them. I think a lot of a trip like that has to do with who you know, where you go, and like what things you know, what recommendations you get. I had some great ones. I did pretty much all the touristy stuff, but I also did a lot of like off the beaten path stuff. Went to Biscuit Bitch.
Yeah. Chuck. Good. Huh?
Really good. Really high quality stuff. They weren't doing seating, but it was really lovely. You got to just sit outside on these little patio tables and wait with your fellow, to go food humans.
That's what I do there anyway. I don't think I've ever eaten in there. I just always grab and go.
Yeah, and then we took it with us, and we walked from there to the little park area where the Space Needle and the Museum of Pop Culture are, and we stopped and ate, and then, you know, like I said, it was my daughter, who's 12, and my girlfriend, and it was just fantastic. We met up with The Gooch. David Gooch. He works at a really cool cidery, which is... you know, there. You know, you think about cider choices, right, at the bar, and I think of like Strongbow and like Woodchuck, and like kind of just the obvious ones that are always a little too sweet. This place, the Seattle Cider Company, made these really subtle ciders that aren't sweet at all, but just have a lot of like flavor and different kind of variations, like some different fruits that they used and different kind of like things to kick it up a notch. And he took us for a tour.
That's
my
great.
Daughter stayed at the hotel, but my girlfriend and I, he took us for a tour through their canning facility, and it was huge in this big industrial area in like Sodo, I think is what it's called, south of downtown, which is largely industrial, and that was great. And my daughter, it's really funny, Chuck, I think I told you we were going, the whole impetus for going was there was this Minecraft exhibit at the Museum of Pop Culture.
Yeah.
And we got there, had a wonderful first day, went to like Pike's Street Market and all of that. And she just loved the town. Everyone was like complimenting her on her outfit because she was wearing her like cool kind of anime stuff. And then we got by the hotel and we were going to buy a ticket for my girlfriend to the thing. And we realized that we were a day late and that the Minecraft exhibit had closed the previous day.
Are you kidding? Wow, dad fail.
It was a dad fail, but it was also a dad win, Chuck, because she didn't care. She had such a great first day and loved the city so much that she was just like, yeah, I don't really care. That was kind of the last thing on my mind, honestly, after we like had such a wonderful time.
Did you go to the museum anyway?
Of course.
Yeah, it's great, no matter what.
It's fabulous. They had all this like horror stuff and sci-fi stuff, and they had like a whole floor. Pearl Jam got their own floor, dude.
Yeah, I've seen that. It's pretty awesome.
Really great. There was a Nirvana exhibit with like all the, you know, guitars, like the... That Tama drum kit that you see in the Smells Like Teen Spirit video, and which is such a trashy punk rock drum set when you look at it. It's probably held together with like duct tape. I love that they took that punk rock DIY aesthetic like until the end, you know?
It's great. And then Noel, it sounds like you you had a trip much like Emily and I did the first time she went to Seattle, which is hitting it on a good weather weekend in the spring, which, you know, Seattle is very weather dependent. It's a great town always. And if you live there, you're certainly used to the dreary drizzlies that occupy that town many days of the year. But if you hit that town in a spring on a nice weekend, dude, it is truly magical. And you will fall in love with it and want to move there.
Well, we got the drizzlies coming in, and then it cleared right up that very same day. We got in really early, and it was a gorgeous day. And we went, like I said, by the market, which is obviously right along the coast and everything, or, you know, the Puget Sound.
Yep.
And then the second day, we went to this place called Gasworks Park, which is in Fremont.
I've been there.
And it's just like this incredible park with like all of these industrial kind of looming, rusty industrial gasworks, you know, structures that are all roped off. But a few of them are kind of been repainted and like repurposed into, you know, things you can lean on or whatever. And there was a band playing and like it just felt like San Francisco or something. It was very alive and vibrant. And there were these like hippie dudes slacklining, you know, where you take those straps and wire walking. And Eden was fascinated by it. And they saw her kind of eyeballing it. And they're like, you want to try it? And awesome. So like they one of them held her left hand. I held her right hand and she walked all the way across. It was just little moments like that that just felt serendipitous and connecting with humans. And God, not to mention this is the first travel and opportunity to connect with humans, not in my very, very close, small circle. So it was very cathartic, Chuck, all around.
That's amazing, Noel. I'm so glad you got a great weekend in Seattle. It is one of the great American cities. That's why we go there every January. And that's why it's just the best. And when Emily and I went, the deal was sealed when we went into bars and there were dogs in bars. And she said, they have dogs in bars. Can we move here?
Yeah, no, I would, dude, my girlfriend was like, I would totally move here. And so is Eden after a couple of days.
Yeah.
Huge shout out to Crusher Darian as well, who gave some excellent recommendations for some, and I had too many folks to list reached out who were like, welcome to Seattle. It was just like, everyone was so kind and like welcoming and so many Crushers reached out with amazing recommendations. I couldn't even do it all, but we're going back. Definitely going back.
That's great, Noel. I love it, man. I love it. I love it. I love it. I miss it. Can't wait to get back. Seattle trip. Let me see. Oh, I just thought I'd quickly mention and apologize since this is my only venue to do so. We did our 3D episode. Everyone hates it, Noel.
Oh, the Stuff You Should Know episode?
Oh, I mean, negative feedback started coming in minutes after we released it. Unlistenable to many listeners. I believe, in my opinion, it's an ableist thing to do because people that have hearing issues couldn't even listen to it. It didn't even register for some people because they have hearing problems, and I certainly don't like that. So we are not too happy about it, and we kind of put the word out to the company that please don't include us again in any audio experiments like this.
Yeah, we did it for Ridiculous History, and we did half the episode that way. It was kind of funny because it was about an auto race, like this big, like cross country. It was like a world like spanning auto race. And so we did like the final stretch of the race in glorious 3D audio. And I think it turned out okay. But yeah, doing it for a whole episode could be a lot. I could see.
Yeah. It's just, it didn't fit our format. So, it just wasn't a good fit. And I didn't want to do it to begin with. I fought against it, but we caved, and I wish I hadn't caved. I should just stick to my guns and say no, Noel. You got to say no.
Sometimes you got to say no, Chuck.
But I could see how it would be a good fit for your show.
It was fun. And and by the way, if I'm going to plug something, the 3D audio, I have to plug what we did for Stuff They Don't Want You to Know, because Matt Frederick is kind of the 3D audio guru for the company. And we did this like reenactment of this remote viewing session, which is like a thing the CIA used to do, you know, all about this. But if anyone isn't familiar, it's like basically using psychic abilities to, you know, it's often you hear about CIA using it to like FBI, maybe even to find bodies or to find a missing person. But there was one particular transcript that's absolutely real where it's someone in like one of those sensory deprivation tanks talking about traveling with their mind to like an alien planet. And Ben plays the subject. I play the monitor and Matt plays the supervisor, and Matt mixed the whole thing in 3D, like did it all in post with like really cool immersive effects. Like you feel like you're in the tank with the guy. And I actually did a really droney psychedelic score for the whole thing that I did live. So
well, I will listen to that actually. I'd love to hear that.
It's only 13 minutes. It's literally like one and done kind of immersive piece. And we only released it like that on its own. It comes out today.
That's cool. I'm going to check
it out. Well, the day we record.
With those headphones on. And one more final little piece of business for the Crushers, just to let everyone know. Sometimes when I interact on the Crushers page, it interacts as Movie Crush. And sometimes it interacts as my personal Facebook page. And invariably, and this is understandable, whenever I interact as my personal Facebook page, I will get friend requests from listeners, which is very, very sweet. But no, listener, if you have tried to Facebook friend me personally and I have not friended you back, please don't take offense. I'm not even really on Facebook that much. And when I am, it's just my like really close friends and family. It's not something I use for... professionally, that's why I have Movie Crush. I used to have it's still up there, the Charles W. Chuck Bryant page, but I don't really do anything there either. So I just wanted to lob it out there. Some like really great old pals have tried to friend me and I didn't want them to feel bad. So it's nothing personal at all. It's just not what I use that page for. It's just it's a very small group of friends and family. And like I said, I don't even post, so you're not missing anything anyway.
Makes perfect sense.
Follow me on Instagram, though, if you like. That's where you'll get, if you want to see pictures of my dumb face and my family every now and then. Chuck the Podcasters, where you can see that. So I hope everyone understands that it's not not personal.
So I shouldn't be offended that you didn't accept my friend request, Chuck?
I'm your friend, and you're friends with Crushers and stuff, and that's great.
I know,
because that's your jam.
Here and there, but I use Facebook very differently too. Like I really don't use Facebook hardly at all.
No,
except
you never
for
post.
Work stuff.
Yeah.
My posting territory is exclusively Instagram, where you can follow me at How Now Noel Brown if you wish.
Yeah, I still really am enjoying Instagram, actually, Noel. It's a format that I avoided for a long time, and I have quite a good time there. I love the people I follow are really fun. Here's a pro tip for everyone in the world. Follow Amy Sedaris, for God's sake.
Oh, God,
just
yes.
Do it.
Yes.
It's the best. It's the best Instagram feed. She curates stuff, and it's just always delightful and fun, like her.
She's always posting like vegetables that look like dicks.
Yeah, or a cat. You know, she posted one yesterday of a dog, actually, that as soon as the person left the room, the dog like pulled the covers up, turned out the lamp, and turned on a fan and got back in bed. And I was like, what the fuck am I watching?
Oh, that's amazing. I didn't see that one. No, I love her.
But she sources it, so it's very cool.
Oh, she does. Exactly. And that's so important.
It is. All right, Noel, we're going to move along to a post from a Crusher that had been unaware to me previously. I don't know if Steve is new or if Steve just had a... I don't think Steve is new. I just haven't seen him around. But he had a really brilliant post. This is Steve Bienemy, is how I'm going to pronounce that. And he said this, Noel, name a thing you've seen only in movies that you know exists, but you've surprisingly never seen it in real life. And he used an example, like, I've never seen a treehouse or a butler or quicksand in real life.
But never those... seen a treehouse.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, you know, Steve might live in the city. You don't see treehouses in the city.
I do have to say, Chuck, I happen to grow up in a house that had a treehouse.
Oh, look at you.
But it's not something I see often. And typically these days, rather than a treehouse, you'll just see a very elaborate play place assembly.
Like
on
the
ground.
But
not a proper treehouse. Yeah. I would think you'd need to get a permit to build a treehouse, Chuck.
Hmm. You know, in Atlanta, there's a name for something behind your house called an ADU, an accessory dwelling unit. So... if you want to build a little tiny office in your backyard, you got to go through the permitting for ADUs. And I wonder if treehouses is the same.
Do you think they had a permit for that treehouse in Hereditary? That could have solved everything if they'd only had a permit.
Yeah, that's what you get. That's the takeaway.
Exactly.
Skip the permitting process.
And, always get a permit. Yeah,
and not Beelzebub. What was the name of the?
Paimon.
Paimon will end up in your fucking treehouse. Paimon. I'd like to see that.
He's the demon of bureaucrats. He comes for
you. Yeah, exactly. You didn't fill out your permit. You will die. All right. So we're going to start off with Barbara Weiss. Icebergs. I've never seen an iceberg. Noel, have you?
I've seen one right ahead. Get it?
Yeah, I get it.
No, I have not. Too soon? I have not seen an iceberg. It was. I don't think it's too soon for the Titanic.
Let me see here. Mike Sam says bidets.
I own a bidet, so.
Yeah, so I just got one too, Noel, finally. What do you got?
I have a Tushy because I got it for free, but I really want to upgrade. Do you have a nice one? Do you have a Toto washlet?
I have a Toto washlet. I finally got one after years and years of complaining about wiping my butthole with dry paper, which is the dumbest thing ever invented.
Bidets are the shit. Ha ha! I really didn't mean that, but they're great.
But the reason I never got a Toto washlet was because it requires power, Noel, and I don't have an outlet next to my toilet. And also I finally said, you know what? I'm going to get an electrician out here, put an outlet next to that goddamn toilet.
There you go.
And get a washlet because I want warm water shot toward my butthole.
It's those have even like directional controls and, you know, what
it's
do you
great.
Want warm. Even the Tushy, which is very analog, very non-powered, is a game changer. I absolutely love it. So
I used to have one that where it's just the cold water.
Just the cold water, but I like the cold water, honestly. It gives you a nice little wake-up shot.
A little how's your father?
Just so. But sure, there were years where I didn't, you know, they always make the joke in movies, too, about like mistaking a bidet for a water fountain, you know?
Right, thing. Of course. Which is funny because it's nothing like that.
Right.
I've never used a real bidet, like a separate unit.
That's like the one I'm talking about.
They have in Europe, yeah. I think those are a little more fountain-esque and less super soaker.
You just lift a leg? You just kind of like, is there stool you stand on? I don't know. We'll have to. Any European crushers out there, let us know how that works.
Yeah, let us know. But I got to say, washlet, game changer.
I love it.
The only, well, never mind. I'm not going to go there. well, I'll go ahead and say it. Why not? The only weird thing is because it makes noise the second you sit down to engage it. So like your daughter can't go in there and press the button and have water shoot all over the place.
Ah,
so you actually have to sit on it and it engages it and starts this little whirring sound. I do my business and then I'm forgetting to flush the toilet for some reason now.
Because it's like that's filling up that part of your brain.
Maybe
where that process would probably normally take place. Yeah,
I bet you that's exactly it. So quite a few times Emily has been like, what the fuck are you doing? Are you regressing in life?
Maybe.
And I am, but that has nothing to do with the toilet flushing. So I've gotten better about checking now.
Chuck, you got me Amazoning Toto washlets now because I feel like I need to up my game.
I think you're right. A couple hundred bucks, $200 or $300.
Well, but that's the thing though, Chuck. They're all over the place.
There's one for
$900. There's one for $940.
Oh, no. That's not the one I'm
looking at. No, I know exactly the one you're talking about. It's the Toto SW20114 #1 A100 electric bidet toilet cleansing warm water and heated seat elongated cotton white washlet.
How much is that one?
$246.
Yeah, that sounds exactly right.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then I think it cost me about $150 to get an outlet installed.
That, yeah.
But it'll pay for itself over time because I'm not having to buy that toilet paper like I used
to. Well, you need it to dab, Chuck. You need to dab,
yeah,
but you use
a square.
A square, you know?
Square. A couple of squares.
Oh, I'm okay. I don't own my house, though. So it's like, do I really want to sink money
into
running an outlet? I'm going to buy a house next year. So maybe I'll hold out.
You know what, Noel? You buy a house, and that'll be your housewarming gift.
Thanks, bud.
I will buy you a Toto washlet. You got to get the power hooked up. I'm not going to spring for that, too. I've been springing for stuff.
Deal. I appreciate it.
One of the crushers yesterday posted Jeff Cassis that he dropped it. He's listening to Movie Crush on a construction site and dropped his earbud, brand new earbud, in the porta potty in that deep blue grossness. And I was just feeling like I should do something. So I had him send me his name and address, and I'm replacing those earbuds for him.
What?
At my own expense.
What a sweetheart you are. I got to say something real quick. Back to Seattle really quickly. There's a brand of porta potty in Seattle.
Okay.
It's called Honey Bucket.
Oh, okay.
Why?
That's pleasant.
Why?
Well, you know, when on a film set, this is all coming back around, Noel, to movies. The shit wagon is called a honey wagon on a film set.
Oh.
So when they bring in the big trailer with like 8 toilets, it's called a honey wagon.
Oh, well, that's obviously where this is related to. Thank you for solving that mystery. I was like, what weirdo came up with this idea?
Of course, that doesn't really explain anything because that doesn't explain why they call it a honey wagon either.
At least it's related to a pre-existing weird thing.
That's right. So anyway, yeah, I bought some
so cool.
earbuds for Jonah. I'm sending him to Canada. And I have to say, Jonah has pretty nice taste in earbuds and all. I hope he's not taking me for a fast one. So that's all right.
Well, that is really sweet of you, Chuck. That's awesome.
Brandy Brooks says, random mounds of money stuffed in mattresses. Sure, that's a movie trope.
It's one of those things you hear about. I've never seen it either. No.
Murderers and detectives is what Tara Lee Cha says. How do you know, Tara? You may have seen a murderer at the coffee shop this morning. Or a detective.
You don't know if they're undercover, right?
You don't know. Man, my laptop is... That fan is cranking. I'm sorry if people are hearing that.
That's okay. I can't hear it.
You hear that? You don't hear that shit?
I don't quite hear it, no.
I'm running hot. Wait,
there it is. There it is.
Why is it running hot? Here, I'll put it right up. Was that better?
A little bit. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cody Reed says a booby trap. Booty trap. Yeah, I've never seen a booby trap. I've tried to build them.
Like a tripwire of some sort?
Yeah, I built the booby traps when I was a kid, like dug a hole in the woods and put sticks over it. That's terrible.
And like barbed wire and broken glass and stuff. God, you're a twisted child.
No, no one ever. I mean, these were woods that only we played in, so I think I was probably just trying to... I probably would have fallen in it myself as the only eventual outcome.
I think that is something that kids can get fascinated with. I was always fascinated with that game Mousetrap, you know, with like those Rube Goldberg sure. kind of like one
got,
thing
triggers
another
game.
Thing.
It's great.
It's so fun, and I think that's sort of the appeal of booby traps, especially the really elaborate ones where you trip a wire,
yeah.
and then it undoes something, and then a big giant you right. know, log swings down from the trees and it's knocks best. Your head off.
Yeah, Rambo style. I got to say, though, Noel, and you've probably encountered this as a father, too, games these days are not put together like they used to be.
In terms of the build quality?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like we got the Game of Life, and like, the spinner is terrible. And I was like, man, right. the old spinner was so great. So what you do is you can go on eBay and buy a vintage spinner for like $5 if you want to piece out a few of these things that are vital to your gameplay. Because they just suck now. And they don't even spin.
At the same time, though, Chuck, it's a wide world of very elaborate and expensive nerd games, which are quite well built.
Well, I believe that.
So if you're talking about mass marketed like legacy games that are yeah. probably in their like 50th iteration
yep.
from like Mattel, those are probably made of spider's webs.
Yeah, yeah. Cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. Let me see here. Dale Lucas, this is a good one. It's something he's never seen. Families having full multi-item sit-down breakfasts complete with pictures of both OJ and milk on normal school and work days. Somewhere someone might do that, but in the world I know, that's weekend stuff. During the week, everyone I've ever known. What was that? Right.
It was actually the sound of Paul Rubens. I was looking at his Cameo. I was about to bring this up in a second. Do you know the website Cameo, Chuck?
Sure.
Well, it's really funny because it's always like really sad when you see some sort of like has-been actor and it's only like $20 to get them to do a cameo.
Yeah, sure.
Paul Rubens is $300, baby. Yeah, that's some top-notch.
Why are you looking at Cameo?
Price there? Because I was going to bring it up. It's about movies. We're talking about movie stuff, and that was going to be my little contribution. And my computer interface does this thing where it sends every audio played on my computer through the Zoom. It's been awkward a couple of times for me where I've like accidentally hit a note on one of my many synthesizers and all of a sudden everyone on the Zoom hears like a massive like synthesizer note. I've been having to like really be very, very careful. But yeah, so you scooped me on my Paul Rubens bit. I didn't mean to interrupt. Please continue, Chuck.
So during my reading of Dale's comment, I hear,
hello,
because you're looking at fucking Cameo.
No, it was all for research purposes.
Oh, boy, I don't even know where I was. Apologies, Dale. You can send your complaint letters to Noel on that
yep,
one.
You can. I'll even give you my personal email address. NoelBrown@hotmail.com.
You know what the guys on Friendly Fire used to do?
What's
was
that?
Anytime they would, RIP Friendly Fire, anytime they would have a complaint coming forward, they would say, just send your email to gofuckyourself@maxfunkenstein.com. Because it was a Max Fun show.
We always, something I want you to know, list our complaint department as Jonathan Strickland at iHeartRadio.com.
Nice. Do you give his real email? You should.
We do, actually.
Does he get them?
I don't know that he's ever gotten anything. He's never mentioned it. He's never mentioned it.
Aisha Abrams says narwhals. Yeah, but has anyone ever really seen a narwhal?
I mean, that's sort of that's the most rare of sea creature sightings, I would say.
All right, I gotta dig into this one because our old pal Caroline Gaston says homecoming events.
Oh, come on, sure. In high schools, I mean, if you went to a high school that had a big football situation, right?
Well, I will say this. Caroline is from the depths of Canada, or the heights of Canada. I think she's way up there in the upper northeast, if I'm not mistaken. So it might not be a thing. She said she knows about prom. We had that, but homecoming is in the fall, right? And it's mostly about a football game.
It's about a football game. Homecoming literally means the first home game, right, of the season?
Yeah, I mean, she's got it dead. It's not the first home game, but it's when the alumni are encouraged to come home and attend the game, and they have a little ceremony, and then they have a dance and all that shit.
I see. But it is very specifically football-centric.
Yeah, which is why she's Canadian. They don't care about football there. Mm-hmm. And don't
they just do, like, curling, right?
I know there's a Canadian football league, everybody. But really? Austin Handler said treehouse. Friends of ours have an insane treehouse. Oh, no, he's just saying he's going to send a picture in. Yeah. All right. Romeo Fuqua says a panic room. Ooh, I'd
Romeo
love to see a panic Fuqua? Room.
That's it. That's the first time I've heard that name.
That's a good one. Welcome,
that's
Romeo.
That's a great one. Yeah. Now, panic rooms are pretty much reserved for the very rich and powerful, right? I mean, you would only see that in like
why
a
we've
super
never seen him, no.
bespoke mansion, right? Yeah, exactly.
Let me see. Joshua Fish says that floor piano in Big. Okay, sure. Is that a real thing? That was probably real, right?
It probably was. Let's see. I mean, like, what, you know, what do they still, surely they still make something. It seems like that's absolutely the kind of gadget that you would see pop up on an ad in Google. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
If you're like, let's see, floor piano for sale.
Hello.
Sweet. There you go. No, here we go. Quick and play. Gigantic keyboard play mat, 24 keys piano mat, 8 selectable musical styles. It is absolutely that thing, and it is only $34.50 on Amazon today.
$34?
Yep.
It's got to be garbage.
It does look like garbage, and to be fair, it is a very small child on it, and he dwarfs the thing, so it's definitely not the same size as the big piano.
I got it. Yeah. That was in the movie Small. Very different movie.
Exactly. Oh, wait a minute. No. Hang on. Because if we'll recall, I believe it was F.A.O. Schwartz that was featured in that scene, wasn't it? So if you look up floor piano, F.A.O. Schwartz
They've
toy
got the real
piano
deal.
Dance mat comes up, and it's $50 on clearance.
Still
and it's from
like
Belk. It's from Belk.com. What? I don't understand.
Well, when I think of great pianos, I think of Yamaha, I think of the Fender Rhodes, and I think of Belk.
100%, yeah.
Maybe Steinway.
Steinway and Belk.
And
yeah,
Belk
makes a mean piano.
Noel, I know you play the synth and stuff like that, but can you get down on the piano a little bit?
I can, you know, fiddle my way around it. I'll tell you who's excellent is Alex Williams.
Oh, is he really?
I told you he and I and Matt Frederick play in a little band together. We play about once a week. And Alex is just a real renaissance man. He can play guitar, just shred it up and play keys. I tend to play bass and kind of, you know, synthy type stuff. And we switch off between bass and guitar sometimes, but he is just epically talented and really great at different chord shapes and theory and stuff. I'm much more of like a plunking my way around it and, you know, finding my way to something that sounds good.
So for listeners, Alex is a former guest, one of our colleagues that we work with, and he did the movie Ed Wood on the show. And great. He also has a great podcast, which I believe has a season 2 coming up, Ephemeral, right? Mm-hmm.
Just launched season 2, actually.
It's great. It is truly great show, and people should listen.
And I completely agree.
Yeah, that is not just doing Alex a solid. It's a mm-mm. fucking great show.
Nah, he's a creative dude. It's been really fun just kind of doing outside of work stuff with him and Matt. It's been like I've got everything wired to record. So every time we jam, we just plug the guitars and the bass directly into my interface and I'll use headphones and the drums are fully mic'd up. So we have full mixable kind of no bleed on everything. And we've been just kind of coming up with stuff on the fly. But we've got a good handful of tunes that we are working on.
Does anyone sing? Or are you guys just instrumental? at this point.
Instrumental to start, but it's sort of like the way a lot of bands work. Even like the Smiths did it this way, where they would kind of create the instrumental parts and then add the vocals after the fact. They'd give them to old Morrissey, who'd been like brooding in his poetry dungeon.
Are y'all going to do that?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to sing?
I'm going to sing. Alex is also a great singer. Matt's also a great singer. We're going to try on for some three-part harmonies. And when things open up, we'll probably have some material and try to play live. Alex and I also have a little electronic project that's just the two of us that's more dance-oriented. But really so been doing a lot. I would love to like jam in person with you sometime.
I'm not a good jammer. I'm a rhythm guitar player. I mean, I can follow along with some chords and stuff, but I've never been a good jammer.
Let's get you over here in the studio one of these days, and I'll play some drums, and you play some guitar, and we can just record a song or something.
I do have to say, Noel, that we're playing tonight, me and my band, for the first time.
No way.
Yep.
Where?
At the drummer's house, Jim's house.
That's awesome. Awesome.
Which is in Kirkwood near us. And we're all super, super, super excited and vaccinated.
I am so happy for you. Isn't it nice to feel just a little tinge of normalcy kind of creeping back in? Obviously, we all have to still be vigilant and careful and thoughtful to others and all that, but it is nice. Like, taking that trip was a real kind of breaking on through to the other side thing for me, you know?
That's great. All right, let's finish up with a couple more here. David Mill says, a cat suddenly jumps out of nowhere and meows loudly. Yeah, that's probably something you don't see a lot in real life. That's a horror movie trope.
It's the fake-out jump scare.
I'm going to go with Romeo Fuqua again. He's the new star of the show, because this is a funny one. People just carrying sheets of glass.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Some of these border on tropes, which is sort of the point as well, I think.
Oh. I mean, that's one that was satirized in Wayne's World 2, where it was like a whole series of, he's like running to stop the wedding. And then there's like people carrying a giant slab of glass and chickens and all that stuff. Yeah.
Was there a baby stroller?
I think my baby.
Yeah. Usually. Eric, I don't know how to pronounce your name, Eric. I'm going to go with Jarda says, this is very funny. Climaxing simultaneously.
Never happens in the real world.
Never happens in the real world.
I mean, not doing a good enough job. Come on guys. Try harder.
I mean, that's just, there are so many problems with movie sex as far as setting people up to believe that any of that shit is how it really goes down. It's not good. That and my is, yeah, nothing.
my favorite though is how the actor that is clearly under contract to not show her breasts is immediately covered up with a sheet.
Right.
Post-coitus, you know, just
or a bad body double cut in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love it. Don't do anything you don't want to do, people.
No. Definitely not.
Blair Christensen also says families having breakfast together. Here we go. No, we'll finish with this one. Martin Kidd says bed sheets that cover lady boobies, but show man boobies.
Right. See? That's it.
That's it. It's the L-shaped sheet is what Joel Kron calls it. And this is good stuff, Steve. Thanks for putting that up there. And Noel, we're going to do a little stream this because we got a lot of stuff. So maybe maybe we can go back and forth since we each have a bunch. And I'll start out with two quick ones. Emily and I both watched WandaVision finally. And we loved it. Like really, really loved it.
Yeah, I did too.
I thought it was one of the most original takes on a story like this that I had ever seen. I thought it was brilliant. I loved every minute of it. And, you know, Emily's deal with Marvel is she's sort of in and out, likes it when she takes the time to watch it, but is not like a Marvel nerd. But she really got into Scarlet Witch and was reading about the backstory. And then we watched Age of Ultron after we finished it all, because, of course, that's where Vision is created and Scarlet Witch is sort of becomes Scarlet Witch. And she really loved that. So we've been on that kick. And then I watched Falcon and the Winter Soldier by myself. And I love that, too.
You did like it.
I fucking loved it, dude.
God, it's a lot of people have been a little hot and cold about it. That I've only seen the first episode, but I've heard some mixed things. But I'm glad to hear that. I'm gonna jump back in.
It's great. I love it. I mean, I love the Bucky Barnes character and Sebastian Stan and Anthony Mackie. Mackie is awesome. I just thought it was really, really great. And they're both in Atlanta, but WandaVision's mainly on a stage and like out in the suburbs. But you'll crack up watching Falcon and Winter Soldier because it's like. hey, Croc Street Tunnel and the Pullman Yards and Oakland Cemetery and Sweetwater Creek State Park. And it's just sort of all over the places we go, which is always fun.
I'll tell you what's really fun. I rewatched recently the Watchmen series.
Yeah.
I think I probably mentioned this, but so much of it takes place right in downtown Decatur in the square. Like literally the climax of the whole series.
Right there by the MARTA station.
Those weird posts, you know, and like they make them all glowy and like Tesla coil-ish. But I've been spending a lot of time in downtown Decatur lately and kicking it in the square. And it's just every time I'm like, yes,
Watchmen.
So cool. Be right in the middle of it.
So do you have a couple that you've been watching you want to go over?
Yeah, I've been diving back into Boardwalk Empire, know, with Steve Buscemi and, so good. It's a show that I realized I didn't even get into the second season. Or if I did, I watched it kind of spottily because I think I watched it when it was on originally. And sometimes you just fall off of things because there's other things that kind of grab your attention. It's not because the thing was bad.
Right.
But I realize now that I am all in. I just think it's a lot of fun. It's everything that I like about, say, like The Sopranos.
Mm-hmm.
But just obviously a very well done period piece about an era that is, you know, you think about in terms of kind of cliche ideas of what flappers and, you know, the swinging or the roaring 20s and all that stuff were. But they do such a good job. And every little scene is just everything's in its right place. And it's an interesting character study, too, because you got a real anti-hero who just kind of gets worse and worse and more willing to do whatever it takes to stay on top. And yet you're still somehow rooting for him. And it's just interesting the way The Sopranos really were kind of one of the first shows that created that. Like, apparently, one of the early episodes when you see Tony Soprano actually kill a man in cold blood, the network was like, I don't know if we can show that. People aren't going to go for that. They won't be able to, you know, stay on board. And David Chase was like, nope, we got to do it. It's crucial to the trajectory of the show. And now the anti-hero is like king, you know? So very much following in those footsteps, but I've really enjoyed that.
That's one I never saw that I could see me getting into on my own at some point. I don't think it'd be up Emily's alley, but I might check that out one day.
Yeah, it's good. Great cast. Lots of people drifting in. Michael Shannon's in it. He plays a prohibition officer who's very, you know, emotionally and spiritually conflicted, let's just say, and interesting things happen with him, and just so many great little pop-ins. I think you really like the show a lot, Chuck.
I will check it out. Shrill season 3 is out. For some reason, I think this is the final season, but I might be wrong.
I think it
that.
Is. I think I saw it actually promoted that way.
Okay, so Shrill is out. We watched the first 4 episodes so far, and it's great. A.D. Bryant, you know, I've gone on and on about the show. I love it so much. I am very disappointed because I reached out to A.D. Bryant's people, and she declined to come on Movie Crush. But that's okay, cousin A.D. I forgive you.
But maybe. We have had a Shrill cast member, John Cameron Mitchell, on Movie Crush before.
Well, exactly. I mean, no, maybe you can tell John Cameron Mitchell to tell A.D. Bryant to come on fucking Movie Crush, for God's sakes.
Yeah. Did we talk about the fact that John booked the role of Joe Exotic in the Tiger King TV adaptation?
He's playing him?
He's playing him.
Oh, my God. How perfect is that?
And, oh, gosh.
I did not realize that.
Kate McKinnon is playing Carol Baskin opposite him.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, I didn't watch Tiger King. We watched one episode, and I was like, not for me.
Not for you. I remember you saying that.
But I would like to see JCM in that role. That's pretty good. You know, A.D. Bryant's also, currently on Saturday Night Live, and I know that that show like takes all your time all week long. So
totally.
Maybe I'll reach back out after the season of SNL is over.
She was also one of the ones that expressed a little bit of squeamishness with old Elon Musk hosting her.
Did you
and
see
another.
That?
I didn't.
I didn't watch it either.
I kind of can't stand the guy. He just really rubs me the wrong way. I know he's doing cool things, but he's just such a quintessential douchey tech bro that I just kind of steer clear.
Well, and SNL never learns. Like, whenever you have these pop culture people that aren't actors or comedians, it just sucks. It's never good. Maybe occasionally an athlete, but that's the exception.
Matt Frederick said it was good. Matt said he thought it was funny. He thought Elon did an interesting job and that it was pretty well suited for him. But I also just don't... I kind of watch SNL like YouTube on YouTube the day after, just like the good sketches.
Yeah.
But I've never sat the night of and watched. I think you had a ritual for a while where you were doing that, didn't you, Chuck?
I mean, I watched it forever since I was a kid, and then sort of fell out the past couple of years a little bit. But now I'll go back every now and then. And the cast, I mean, the cast is good right now, but maybe I'm getting older. And that's what it is. And they all seem like they're like 19 years old. Not that I have Chuck, any problem with 19-year-olds, but I'm not identifying as much.
Chuck, I think it is a certainty that you are getting older. It is just a part of life. But Bowen Yang, who does a podcast on our network,
he's great.
Called Los Culturistas, he's on it, and he's fabulous.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know he was on our network. Is he?
Yes, sir. He sure is.
Oh, I need to get him on there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan. And then the other thing, Noel, we started just last night, is I'll Be Gone in the Dark, the great HBO docuseries concerning Michelle McNamara, the Patton Oswalt's wife who passed away while she was working on this book about the Golden State Killer. And really, really loved the first episode. Can't wait to finish it because it's a part documentary about the Golden State Killer. So it's part true crime and then part about Michelle McNamara and her obsession with this and the way she approached these true crime in a different way that was very much more victim focused and more literary and a little less salacious. And Patton Oswalt is in it, of course. He's interviewed and things. And that whole story is just tragic and also heartwarming because he found love again. And his daughter loves his new wife. And I really got mad. You know, I don't know if you remember when he got remarried, Noel. He got a lot of heat from people online because they were saying, like, he got married too soon, remarried after his wife had died. And that just really fucking pissed me off and still does when I think about it, for internet shitheads to weigh in on someone's personal life and finding love again. And that's just, it's the worst of the worst of the internet. And so I just think it's great that he and I think, what's her name? Meredith Salinger.
I think that's right. I can't quite recall. I haven't seen this doc yet, but
she's an actor.
Covered. Oh no, no. I'm not
yeah.
Sure.
Meredith Salinger. She was a big time actor like in the 80s and 90s. She was in some really big films. Journey of Natty Gann. That was her big breakthrough. Dream a Little Dream. I almost had her on Movie Crush at Sketchfest, but we couldn't make that happen. But anyway, I'll Be Gone in the Dark is great.
I tell you, I'm not, I don't watch a ton of documentaries anymore. I don't know why. I think I've mentioned, like, I've made a documentary many years ago and really just grinded out my heart and soul into that documentary about the Georgia Guidestones, this weird monument in rural Georgia. There's a lot of, like, conspiracy theories attached to it. Anyway, we talked about it on Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. But this one I'm interested in that you just mentioned because we've certainly covered the Golden State Killer stuff on Stuff They Don't Want You to Know a lot. But there's a new one that just dropped called The Crime of the Century. It's Alex Gibney, who did the Going Clear documentary, which I loved, about the Church of Scientology. And The Crime of the Century is about Purdue Pharma and the opioid epidemic. And a stat that I'm reading in this Hollywood Reporter piece is that the opioid epidemic killed nearly 500,000 people. Jeez. Between 1999 and 2019. And it was something that many of my friends were involved in. I mean, there was a time where OxyContin was just overflowing. They called it hillbilly heroin. You know, I mean, it was just like so much easier and cheaper to get than actual heroin.
Yeah.
And it was a real problem. And they tried to pretend, Purdue Pharma, like it wasn't addictive. And they had all these studies that were basically juiced to make it look like it wasn't addictive and that it was like, oh, it's totally safe. And it absolutely wasn't. And it created this huge problem, especially in rural parts of the country where people just got super hooked on this stuff and were getting it without a prescription.
Yeah.
Because people with prescription were just selling them. And it was just absolute chaos. But this documentary apparently does a really thorough job of exploring, you know, what they did, what they knew, when they knew it. They ultimately, it's another one of those things where these big companies and CEOs, they don't go to jail. They just pay a lot of money, which is a lot of money to us, but not a lot of money to a big multinational pharmaceutical company. So at the end of the day, it's just a slap on the wrist.
Right.
And people are literally lost their lives. So
brutal. Brutal, Noel. Yeah. I'll check that out. I like Alex Gibney's work.
Mm-hmm.
You got anything else?
No, that's what I'm really looking forward to. Been doing the Boardwalk Empire, watching a lot of Bob's Burgers on Hulu. I just think that's a lovely show.
So great.
And there's a new anime series on, or it's not anime, but it's Flying Lotus, the electronic kind of tech, like hip hop slash jazz electronic artist, does the soundtrack for it. It's called Yasuke or mm-hmm. Yasuka. It's a, based on a historical figure who was a African descended samurai. He started off as a servant to some sort of high lord, and then ended up serving him as a warrior and became the only African samurai.
That sounds great.
It's a cartoon, and it's definitely like a very exaggerated version. There's like robots and sci-fi elements and stuff, but the core of it is based on the real story.
That's amazing. That sounds very cool. What's it called again?
Yasuke. I believe it's pronounced Yasuke. Yeah, Yasuke.
All right, Noel. Well, we're going to wrap this one up and send it off into the ether. And thanks for listening, everyone. And we'll see you next week.
Movie Crush is produced and written by Charles Bryant and Noel Brown. Edited and engineered by Seth Nicholas Johnson. And scored by Noel Brown here in our home studio at Ponce de Market, Atlanta, Georgia, for iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.